Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Truly, this was the Son of God. You know, the centurion got it right. And why is this so unusual? Well, the centurion was the man who was in charge of the torture of Jesus. He herded him along the streets, carrying the cross. He was the one who started them playing craps with dice for his robe. He's the one who gave him vinegar to drink. And he was the one who was in charge of sticking that spear into his side to find out if he was still living. And he was also the person that recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. You know, I've got a talking Bible. And in this section, I was listening to the other day. Jim Caviezel, who played Christ in The Passion of the Christ, does all the readings from Jesus. Okay? And who was the guy who played Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs? Anthony
Hopkins
is Pilate. You know, so all these things, it's very interesting because they've turned a lot of this into narrative. And it's one of those that really comes alive when the people sit out there and yell, "Crucify him," which you did today. That's the reason why we did that. What was it? 3 years ago, a movie came out called Risen. Remember that? Joseph Fiennes, the one who played Luther in the Luther movie. Why is that so unusual? Well, he played the centurion Clavius, that same centurion we're talking about. And he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And so he had to find out whether Jesus really was risen or not. If you haven't seen that movie, go see it or rent it. It is a fantastic film. But folks, why did Jesus have to die? Well, I've talked about this in my Bible studies. I'm going to talk about it today, so we're going to get to this in a few minutes. But all of this that happens in the story fulfills prophecy. When Jesus got on the colt of an ass, is what it says in the King James Version, a donkey, it says, "You will go and find this donkey tied up outside." He goes, the apostles go and find this and bring it to him, and he rides it into the city. That prophecy is there. There was a Thrivent painting. For those of you who don't know, Thrivent is the combination of Lutheran Brotherhood and the Association for Lutheran Insurance Companies. And they came out with a thing a couple of years ago about the triumphal entry. And so it's a beautiful painting. You can still get it, but we don't have any place to put it up here, so I haven't done it yet. But you see Jesus coming in, and the people are Hosanna. The palm leaves are over everywhere. They've got palm leaves to make a carpet for him to ride his donkey on. And then in an alcove over here, the Pharisees, mad, just as angry as can be. Why? Because not only jealous, but Jesus was a threat to their power. They were not in power for God. They were in power for themselves. Steve's right. They were jealous. They were jealous of what was happening with Jesus at that point. So again, why did Jesus have to die? Barabbas instead of Jesus. Well, why? Why not take Jesus? Give us Barabbas! Okay. Great movie came out with Victor Mature playing Barabbas. Okay. You know, there's so many films that deal with this, and sometimes it's so much easier when you picture that going on. Well, in the first covenant, which is the covenant between Abraham and God, you had to have a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Well, so what had happened? Well, instead of having a blood sacrifice freely given, the temple actually had it set up. So it was done on a commercial basis. You went into the temple, you paid for something. The more money you had, the bigger the animal. You took it up, they slit its throat, the blood ran down beside, and the carcass was burned. Of course, cows and things like that were roasted, and the priests ate it, and they did pretty well. So there has to be blood atonement in the Jewish religion. Well, what do you do when you want to stop that? We talked about this in our Bible study the other day. Can God change his mind? But yet, God is consistent, isn't he? So what God does is he has to fulfill his first covenant. And what is the first covenant? Blood sacrifice for atonement. Well, what is good enough to finish the first covenant? God himself. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us that we might have everlasting life. There's what's good enough. There's the blood atonement. God is consistent. He made the rules. Now man got in there and changed the rules. He set up 613 laws that you had to follow for salvation. And if you broke any of the rules, you had to atone for that. Folks, how can any of us follow 613 rules? What are the rules that we have? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's the rules. New covenant, right? Take and drink. This wine is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. What did Jesus do? He simplified it. Love, love, love. But yet, we know that that excitement we just did, we just came in excited, right? We sing. We sat down. So why did that excitement turn to hatred? Well, first of all, there are a lot of expectations of the Messiah. The Messiah was going to bring an earthly kingdom. And not only that, that kingdom was going to be of the Jews, and that kingdom was going to be in charge of the world. Guess who's going to be on top now? Not those Romans. He's going to bring silver and gold to everybody. They're going to be rich. They're going to eat steak and lobster every night. No, they're not. I don't either. Be a little tough down there. We got talking because, you know, why apples as part of the Seder dinner? You know, did they have apples in the Middle East? Yeah, they did. Actually, apples were a staple in Egypt. Okay? Be a little tough to get it when they're wandering through the desert, but it's one of those things. Also, Jesus was going to bring the defeat of Rome. Well, what was the truth? Well, Jesus was born in a stable. He worked with his hands. You know, we call him a carpenter, but he was probably a stone cutter. He begged for his dinners. He didn't have any money. He had no costly robes. How many did he have? One. He was followed by 12 humble men. And Christianity was a religion of the lower classes, not the aristocracy. That didn't happen until later. Christianity is a bottom-up religion, not a top-down. Remember what Gamaliel says after the resurrection, and they bring all the apostles in, and they want the Pharisees want to stone them. And then Gamaliel stands up, who is one of the great teaching rabbis in Jerusalem, Paul's teacher. And what does he say? He said, if this religion is of man, it's going to wither away. If it's of God, there's nothing we can do to stop it. That was 2,000 years ago, wasn't it? So is it of God or is it of man? No, it's of God, boy. So which way was really more powerful? The expectations of the Jewish people or the reality of the Messiah? I think the reality of the Messiah. What happens in 300 years? Roman Empire becomes Christian. 318, Edict of Milan. Christianity can be accepted. 356, Constantine, on his deathbed, becomes Christian. Jewish people thought their expectations were going to be fulfilled. Instead, the reality of the Savior was fulfilled. Let's look at our scripture today. Zechariah. You know I love the Messiah. And one of the biggest arias for an alto in there. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice greatly. That's your text from Zechariah. And then we have that big doxology. Glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Doxology just means glory. You know, glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We've actually done the doxology twice today. We're going to do it a third time when we sing it. We glorify God. Well, who recognized the danger in Jesus? The Pharisees. They were scared about as much as anybody could be scared. Their way of life was threatened. They were jealous of the acclaim that he was getting. But the thing is, they didn't love God. I mean, look at their leaders. Caiaphas from the temple, the head priest. Look at Herod the Great, the king of the Jews. Did they love their people? Not really. Caiaphas, let's look at him. He's the one that wanted Jesus killed, right? Because he threatened him. If Jesus is of God, then why didn't he embrace him? See, there's all these questions that the Bible gives to us. However, it doesn't give us any answers, does it? Does it tell us why? Is it important to know why? Remember in the third article of the Creed, I cannot by my own reason or strength know my Lord Jesus or come to him. But I have been called by the power of the Holy Spirit in the gospel. Right? Well, folks, it's not rocket science. It's God. You know, Jesus had to die. He didn't want to. In the Garden of Gethsemane the night before, what does he ask for? Let this cup pass from me. I know I have to do this, but do I really? Well, remember, God, Jesus is both God and man. Would you willingly go to the cross if you didn't have to? It's one of the most horrible deaths there is. Because you die by suffocation. How many of you knew that? Because when you're hanging up here, this comes in, you can't get a breath. So to breathe, you got to lift your body up. So every breath, you got to do that. And it finally comes to the point, you can't do it anymore and you suffocate. You die. God sent his son to die for us, that we might have everlasting life in heaven. So when Jesus triumphantly entered through the gate of Jerusalem, he knew what was waiting for him in the end. Did it stop him from coming through that gate? No. He still went. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. May this gift of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep your hearts, minds, and lips on Christ Jesus. Amen.